no place to escape to.
This is the Lost Podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Man, it feels good to make some sex noises today, doesn't it, Kissel? Oh, yeah.
Is that, those are sex noises?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Tell me, Kissel, what are your sex noises? Try to, like, really. That's bad. Were you raped by Bill Cosby? Are you saying that right now? Were you revealing that you received
Bill Cosby,
one of his enigmatic acting lessons?
I was not on his radar at all. But, oh my goodness, did you see the coronavirus giveth and it taketh, but did you see it did get Weinstein's ass?
We got a listener email that they think that that's full of it's bullshit.
Oh, really?
And that there is a COVID-19 outbreak. There is one happening in Rikers right now.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad. But he was already in isolation, and reporters are using this as like a headline grabber. I'm not sure. Obviously, that
I don't know.
Who knows? But it seems like I think it might be half horseshit because he was already in isolation because everybody's trying to fucking kill him.
Right, right. Oh my goodness. When he went, I want to do an entire series on murderers trying to get out or people who are criminals trying to get out because
I got a cough.
Sympathy.
See me? That would be the first thing I would do.
Sure.
If this was going on right now and I was in prison for white collar crime and I've already been handed around by prisoners like I'm a prized grapefruit, I definitely would go right up to the jail guard and be like, excuse me, I think I have a fever.
They would kill your ass like a Polish pinata.
Help
Michael,
me, I got it. I got
Hey, everyone. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben hanging out with Henry. Yes, my
you
favorite
still
thing
you
is...
Dodged the question. You still dodged the question about making a sex noise for
you want
audience.
My sex noises? You want to know what it is? It's probably like...
Yep.
Like something like that. Like I'm kind of like purging up oatmeal. I don't know. I've
That's
never
good.
Recorded myself. I don't care to record myself. It's not
You've never
happen.
Videotaped? Yourself
no.
making love? I can't imagine doing it. Can you imagine what it would be like? Because I don't like it when I see, like, you know, whatever heteronormative scare tactics I'm even saying right now. But the idea of, like, I don't even like seeing the angle on a professional porn star when it shoots from behind the balls.
Oh, yeah. The old kilt shot. Yeah.
Like, why are we doing the undercarriage slow moving? Why are we doing a Scorsese style tracking shot on this former drifter's asshole?
I don't know.
I'm trying to see a woman's asshole currently, you know, in this scene, watching this film. I can't imagine seeing my own.
No. Well, I mean, of course you could always imagine it, but it is frightening. I'm sure some people love that shot and more power to you. Yes. So we have a lot of stories to get to today. The coronavirus, it is very interesting. The story is Tekashi 6ix9ine, he wants out of jail. Michael Cohen and Harvey Weinstein, they've all said that they've got it. I don't know.
Yep.
Who knows? All I know is Harvey Weinstein versus Suge Knight, Henry. This is my toss-up question. Which
Suge
one of
Knight
these felons?
Beats the fucking, beats
no,
the,
not
the
versus,
death.
Not versus in that. Suge Knight would beat the living hell out of Harvey Weinstein.
He would turn him into a ketchup packet.
Yes, he would. I'm saying who had a better failed attempt of getting sympathy from the jury? Suge Knight who pretended to be blind, which is unreal, or Harvey Weinstein who put the little tennis balls on his walker, like the guy who's like, I can't even walk anymore. It's so hard.
Yeah. And then he abandoned it as soon as he went to jail. For comedy's sake, Suge Knight pretending to be blind. Nothing beats him like not being able to find the witness stand. I seem to remember that where he had the big sunglasses on, like
awesome.
Inside. That's fucking incredible. Harvey Weinstein, no one was buying it. At least
no
with Suge Knight, people were kind of for a second. Like, is he fucking blind? Is he really blind? And that says a lot.
Speaking
of massive cons, and some of, like, because, you know, you could say whatever you want about, I mean, you know, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, fucking Suge Knight. These are American icons.
Well,
we've helped
in a strange way, this fallen from icon grace, that's for sure.
We have created these people. Now, there's a new icon on the scene that we've been talking about for several years.
Yes, we have.
Already. We've already been talking about it. We were obsessed with him when he ran for governor of Oklahoma.
Seriously, maybe the greatest announcement for any political office in the history of American
politics. I'm gayer than a $3 bill, and I live with five tigers, and I'm running from governor of Oklahoma, which was one of the most incredible openings to any video I've ever seen.
Dude, did you know how well he did, though?
I didn't know until the documentary.
We're talking about Joe Exotic. Yes, of course. Joe Exotic, for those that haven't, there's a new documentary on Netflix. Check it out. It's unreal. He got 19% of the vote.
And I'm not going to remind you, but how much did you get of Brooke?
1.8%.
Holy shit.
We probably got the same amount of votes considering how many people live in Oklahoma.
Yes. But the looks on people's faces, this documentary series, it's on everybody's lips. It's on everybody's fucking tips right now. Everybody is now jumping on the Joe Exotic bandwagon. I guess as they should. He is an example of the indomitable human spirit and how that human spirit ends up in jail for 22 years.
I am okay. So we get we've gotten a little bit of blowback. Sometimes we give a little bit of spoilers. If we give some spoilers in this, we really are not attempting to. We're just trying to talk about this thing that everyone told us to talk about. So the characters within the Joe Exotic documentary, I don't even think it has Joe Exotic is the name that brings you in. But really, the documentary is about Carol Baskin, this other dude named Bhagavan Antle. He is a doctor of, I believe, supernatural medicine.
This man, he became his own. Yes, he's spiritual medicine.
Spiritual medicine. So he's not a doctor.
Self-made doctor. He's a self-made doctor. Doc Antle, as became to be known, was, I think it's the real sleeper star of the documentary series because it came to the forefront. He runs an organization called Tigers, which stands for the Institute for Greatly Endangered and Rare Species. Mm-hmm. He says Joe Exotic called him somewhat of a mentor. He was the inspiration for Joe Exotic's Tiger Sanctuary, the Greater Wynwood Exotic Animal Park.
Yep.
But also, Doc Antle loves to fuck. And throughout this whole series, they say that he has multiple wives, which he promptly, through an Oxygen.com article, he's rolling back,
saying,
I don't have multiple wives, they're just my fucking girlfriends. Or, I had girlfriends. Right now, he says, right now I am OFG, which is old, fat, and gray, and I don't fuck anymore.
Well,
which I was like, I will be fucking when I'm old, fat, and gray, because of pills.
I do believe that he's accurate about that. When it comes to his name, Bhagavan, it means Lord, or
and
next
he began to
God.
Does he call himself Bhagavan, or is that his legal name?
That's what he calls himself. I don't know if he officially changed it. It's certainly what he goes by. My big concern with him is, it's not that he has multiple wives. I watch Sister Wives every now and again. Not really, but let's just say I do. That's fine. They live out in Nevada. They're having a good time. It seems like what he has is paid slave labor, which is ironic because one of his snakes was actually used in the Britney Spears song, I'm a Slave for You.
That's a big get for a snake.
It's a huge get for a snake.
Do you have any idea how many L.A. snakes went out for that? How many snakes they brought in? You drove in your snake, right? You're driving all the way in from fucking Encino to go to Culver City for this fucking audition, and then they get some local because it'll work cheap?
I agree. Damien, Jake the Snake, Robert Snake showed up, and he's like, can I please be in the video? And they're like, I'm sorry, Damien, you're too old. You had a drug problem. You got to get out of here. Go be a snake. Go elsewhere.
Do you think the snake got into the heroin, too?
I think that snake got into whatever Jake the Snake was doing because I don't think it was very well kept.
He was in the bathtub.
Yeah, I think it was in the bathtub or mostly in the trunk of Jake the Snake's car, which is probably not a great thing. So Dr. Antle, he says that he does not have multiple wives, air quotes. But my concern here is this. So they interview a woman who ends up going over there. She was 19 years old. She wanted to take care of tigers. Tigers are a big... That's a draw. That is a draw. You tell someone they can take care of tigers, evidently they will not just do it for free. They will do it in horrible living conditions and also be treated like trash the entire time.
Well, according to a essay written by Barbara Fisher, which was one of his many wives, she basically described it, or many quote-unquote wives. She was just there. She was there, and she didn't know what to do. I'm not going to really even say that she slept with him, but there was kind of a an untold promise in the air that if you were to maybe express yourself physically to the doctor, you know, as maybe as they would call him, or Lord as they called him, that you would be able to get more one-on-one time with Tigers and more one-on-one time training with this incredible, incredible resource, Doc Antle. But what you don't know is just that you're just being put in front of these incredibly dangerous cats by a man who barely knows what he's doing, and all of these cats are completely uncontrollable. But they say it takes, it's like an 18-hour workday to work with these cats. They also cost tens of thousands of dollars per month to run. So what they have to do is they get the cats acclimated to human beings as early as possible. As soon as they fall out of the tiger pussy, they're touching it, getting used to humans, getting their oils on it or some shit.
Sure.
And then they start doing what they call the cub petting services, which is they're inviting people to come and take pictures with the cubs and shit for money.
And we'll talk about one of the worst allegations. Well, one of the many allegations, I don't know what's worse or not when it comes to Antle, but what does he do with these cubs? Once they're no longer viable, and once he can no longer make money off of their cuteness. But the
I tell you what, have you ever had any of that, you ever had any of that Trader Joe's frozen tikka masala?
Yeah, but that's not tiger cub.
You fucking rube. You simple, simple, naive boy.
Well, I will stay naive if that's the case, because that is one of the better things at Trader Joe's, and their bean burritos, which are very, very tasty and low in fat if you're trying to lose weight. But when it comes girls, thank you. When it comes to these girls, the 19-year-old girl they interviewed, oh, now she's a woman, but she went there. She said that they were kept in the horse stalls. They had cockroaches were everywhere, and much like Roger Ailes, I just watched that movie Bombshell yesterday. Actually, really good. If you want to check out the acting, it's superb and it's pretty accurate. I'll talk about more. I'll talk about that more on Abling and Stop At. But he is a little bit like Roger Ailes, who used to say, "To get ahead, you got to give a little head." And he told that girl, it was insinuated, if she wants to get out of the barn and into the house, you've got to get into his pants. And I'm going to say that is problematic.
All right. Yeah. Good call. Good call, Kissel.
Yep.
He did run a little bit of a sex cult inside of his tiger sanctuary. It seems like he now is, again, he's rolling it all back. He's saying that was all like Joe Exotic's crew building him up, saying that he had multiple wives. Joe Exotic was also a man who loved to spin lore about people because he was doing it about himself. But Doc Antle is not a nice man. He's not a good man. But does he have a flavor saver that is over 3 inches long? Yes, he does.
I don't even know what that means, but I'm going to assume you mean his Johnson.
Yeah, no, his flavor saver. You've never seen that there? It's the fucking strip of hair from the bottom lip down to the chin. And that's how you know a guy.
I never heard that before.
You've never heard that before? No, it's what you do. It's like a napkin for all the pussy juice he acclimates. He just, that's Doc Antle. And if you take a look at him, you'd fall in love with him too. I have a little bit of research about him.
He looks like Steven Seagal's like brother that he doesn't talk to because he's like a vegan or something.
He looks like Harry Knowles' stunt double.
It's really not great.
I'm going to take a look at this. So this is a breakdown from, comes from Doc Antle's website, How I Came to Love Animals. I am the founder of Tigers and RSF, both active organizations for wildlife preservations. My love for animals goes back to the early days of growing up in Arizona. Plenty of animals there. I had ample opportunities since childhood to travel around, and it landed me, Doc Bhagavan Antle, in China. I received my doctoral degree in medicine there and decided to travel to the inland areas where medicinal facilities were not available.
Hey, Doc. I don't want to interrupt you. I know you're giving your bio and everything. Could you just tell me, get the flavor off of your...
Let me just suck the rest of us out of my... Sorry, I don't want to be rude. Crystals of pussy juice in
this. No, you are disgusted, and I actually want to talk to you where you're getting all these women from. They seem to be...
I purchased them.
Hostage, but
I purchased them. I hold their jobs over their heads, and I make sure that they stay with me for sex.
Oh, you were surprised.
It's that easy, friend.
You were surprisingly clear and upfront about that.
Yep, it is just like that.
You mentioned you were in China and you became a doctor. Was it like podiatry? Any an eye doctor? Or what was the medicine? What was the practice? Do you recall?
I actually received a pretty hard dentist. That's what I call a PhD out here, in unicorn math. Very, very good. And so he said he went to go heal the animals of China. And he created a thing called the Integral Health Services, which is a drug rehabilitation set clinic for medication programs. That means nothing. I think he made a drug rehab, like, for animals.
Okay.
So Jake the Snake, snake could get in there.
Damien would be there.
In 1982, a zoo director introduced me to a tiger cub. And I just said, "Hello, Mr. Tiger Cub." And the tiger cub said, "Hey, are you my daddy?" And I killed it to see how it worked. I cut it open to see how its guts worked.
I believe that. So Dr. Antle, he is a fame. As far as the underworld of tiger trade, of tiger love, of these sort of petting zoos, these people were some of the, we haven't even gotten to Carol Baskins yet. We'll get to her in a second. But these people are some of the most interesting people. But he was very famous. If you've seen the movie Dr. Doolittle, or if you've seen the film Ace Ventura, those are his animals. In Ace Ventura,
yep.
Dr. Antle is on set with Jim Carrey. Like, you can imagine the conversations they had. He is on set. He is a famous zoo guy, and he was on Leno. He was on all these shows. Meanwhile, he's running a sex cult.
He was a big name.
He
was a very, very big name within the world of animals for hire for show business.
Huge.
And yes, he did. You could see him joking with fucking Jay Leno, doing all the shit, but he did run this sort of, like, cryptic. We obviously, it's going to come out as this information is now becoming publicized since he got blown up on the Tiger King documentary series. Now it's everybody's coming to him. And so I'm certain more information is going to come to light.
Wasn't it interesting though, Henry? Carol Baskins and Dr. Antle. Carol said, "I don't want," and we'll talk to Carol and we'll talk about her in a second, but Carol said, "I don't want to be part of a freak show." So the people that did the people that did the doc were like, no, we're shedding light on animal abuse. And then yes. Dr. Antle was the same way, where he was like, "I just want to show the good side of the tiger people, of tiger care."
Meanwhile, the world of big cats, like of whatever they're doing between the cub petting and the breeding, and it's like it's all just so inherently fucked up.
So the two big accusations against Dr. Antle are pretty big. One, he runs a sex cult, keeps Boo in there against their will, or at the very least forces them to have sex with him if they want to stay. A lot of these people have big internet followings. There's a girl, the Tiger Queen or whatever. She has like almost 300,000 Instagram followers. He made this chick get fake breast implants, all this kind of stuff, right? So there's that.
Oh, yeah.
And the second accusation is, where do the cubs go once they hit maturity? And the answer to that is 99% sure, burned alive in his own crematorium killed and then burned. And anytime someone has a crematorium on site,
always a problematic
there's
thing.
There's a problem.
I'll say, I'm going to say this out loud right now. I'm glad that you brought this up, Kissel, because the LPN crematorium is, I mean this, we're only burning bodies of roadside animals just to clean up the streets.
Uh-huh.
We got our street team is literally picking up roadkill from the streets. We build them our crematoriums. It's completely legit.
Yes.
It's completely above board. And yes, it can fit a human body. A human body can go inside a crematorium, but it's just to go in without the flames just to see what it's like right before you're cremated. It's an experiential thing.
Okay, well, this is according to Dr. Antle. "I am popular. I am so well known as a big cat guy around the world that people who are against me having relationships with animals, period, want to destroy me because I am out there in the forefront. So known of being this guy that is in love with big cats and has them love him back." So he believes that he is being targeted because the big cats love him too much, and the big cats love him more than Joe Exotic and more than Carrie. So that's why people are taking him down, and he's got a rap sheet like the size of a football field.
It's the fucking cats. The cats are making the decision. And you know what? To be honest, if the cats are making the decisions, I think that's actually bad. I think that people should be making the decisions.
You know what? In this case, I actually think the cats should be making the decision of their own life and not be so confined.
Well, they need to be released. They all shouldn't be. But I also understand the big cat rescue side of it. I understand keeping these things. I understand that you can have a rehabilitative zoo, but what these people are all involved in, and that's the reason why Carol Baskin is such a very specific character in this world too. For what you guys now, like also what I'm certain that you know, but to just remind you, Carol Baskin is the woman that Joe Exotic is currently in jail for 22 years for threatening to murder.
Yes.
And technically putting a hit out on her several times.
Air quotes technically, because I mean, that's also a gray area. He was led down a road.
Joe Exotic is not he's not the hero we need. He's the hero we deserve. He's not he's a complicated man.
This is
me trying to explain this to Natalie, and she's just looking like, yeah. Yeah,
he is complicated.
He's complicated. He contains multitudes. There's many times where I'm watching the Tiger King series where I feel a lot of sympathy for Joe Exotic.
Yes.
There are other times where you're like, Joe Exotic is also a fucking madman.
Yes.
But I started breaking him down in my mind. So Carol Baskin, she runs a thing called Big Cat Rescue. She's been trying, her and Joe Exotic have been in sort of this legendary fight for years. He has been, now Carol Baskin is saying stuff like, I just love to see how big a part of Joe Exotic's life I was, because he was barely a part of mine.
Meanwhile,
cut to her spending over $1 million to fuck with him for that copyright claim, which is absolutely bonkers.
Well, what she would do, and this is what I find to be so nefarious, because it was sort of, it really did screw
Joe. She killed her first husband. She killed her fucking
first
husband.
Well, you jumped to that, but yes, there's also that. But what she would do with Joe is, Joe would use a picture, and then she would retroactively trademark that picture and then sue him for use, because then he would
stop immediately.
Well,
he was doing both.
He started it.
He started it. Joe Exotic fucking started it.
She started it because she put him on his website, being like, public enemy number one.
But that's a problem. She poked the bear. What she didn't understand is that with Joe Exotic, you know what I mean? They were perfect for each other. All of these fucking assholes deserved each other. That is how I view it, is that Carol Baskin is not a nice woman.
No.
She's a fucking murderer. She's doing the same shit that Joe Exotic is doing, but in nicer cages.
They're not nicer cages.
I actually was pretty surprised by the documentary about how nice Joe Exotic's fucking cages were.
Joe's were the nicest. There was a woman, and by the way, the whole idea that we're not having spoilers is out the window, so just so you know that. The woman that got her arm bit off by a tiger in Joe Exotic's zoo, she was backed. She said, literally, the doctor said, you can either we can do rehab for 2 years on your arm and you can keep it, or you can cut it off now and go back to work.
She lost her fucking arm for Joe Exotic.
And she was back at work, no lie, the next week. And they loved it. The people that Joe Exotic took care of, and you know us on this show, you know, all of us have had our past, and all of us, God knows, if things didn't go right, we very well could find ourselves in the clink at some point. I think not anymore, but who knows? Well, you never know. Who knows?
But I don't know what I'll do.
Joe took in all of these ex-cons. They were such a great, almost John Waters-like feel to just their uniqueness. He took in people that needed help. Dr. Antle took in women that he was using for sex, and Carol Baskin's just straight up used, not slave
her
labor,
dead husband's money.
Her dead husband's
dead
money.
Husband's money.
And then basically it's volunteer, but I think people also had an idea in their head that they were really volunteering for something that it just does not exist.
It is a tiered volunteer system where if you meet certain, it was like there are teal like interns in the Carol Baskin Big Cat Rescue world, right? And then if you reach a certain amount of expectations, then you get a ruby level.
Ooh.
And you get a little bit more access to the cats. And all of them use the cats as the drug.
Yes.
All of these people, like they have acquired these cats, and then they attract people because of the cats. Joe Exotic is both good and bad. He did give an alternative life to a bunch of people that were having a lot of fucking problems.
Yes, they were.
People with drug problems.
Yes.
People with histories of felonies. He was giving them a career, but he also held it against them by then saying, now you be loyal to me, right? So that's what he's saying, that's the Scientology mechanism right there. That's what they do with Narconon, where they say, hey, we saved your life, now you owe us.
Right.
You owe us forever.
But to be fair to Mr. Exotic, who I am going to call from now on prisoner number 18915679. Yes. Mr. Exotic, he paid his employees. Yes, I believe it's $150
sure,
a week.
$150 a week.
Which to us is like, okay, that's not worth it. But taking into account, Carol Baskin did not pay anyone. And Dr. Antle paid his employees, I think it was like $30 a month or something. And
well,
they also
got the
had
privilege of lifting his belly and looking at his pubes. They got the benefit of that. They've said this. I've seen these new magazines. They've been saying this about how men with guts actually have sex better. Kissel.
No, first of all, whatever beefy boy magazine you're reading, I think it's lying to you.
If you've never,
are you reading like
never,
Play
you don't
Pig
respond
or something?
To, you don't watch Big Gut? You don't subscribe to Big Gut magazine? Big Gut magazine is incredible. It's like, it's called like Self Table. I love the whole Self Table column they'll have where it shows different things that you could put on top of your belly when you're sitting down. It's honestly really nice. It's comforting in these times.
Unfortunately, my subscription lapsed, and I haven't gotten it back yet. But I will. I didn't know they were doing the Self Table bit again.
But Carol Baskin, when it comes down to all this, I don't think she's any better than Joe Exotic.
No.
But at the same time,
she's a murderer.
You can't threaten to murder somebody in the dumb way that Joe Exotic did it.
Okay,
you got to be more subtle. If you want to kill somebody, you got to sneak up on somebody.
Carol Baskin, her brother was a sheriff. She was connected to the police force. She had a lot of money because she killed her husband who had a lot of money. And obviously she married a doughy loser lawyer who is a massive cuck who loves
to
be dominated. He loves it, though.
That's the difference is that if you love being a cuck, then you love it.
No,
so he's just the little smile on his face being like, Carol and her cats. He's so excited about me keeping her happy. And Carol Baskin's becoming one of those purple ladies. Do you notice that?
Of course. And literally the number one goal of her husband's life is to make her happy. That's what he expressed. And I think that's why she likes him. Carol Baskin is the instigator and the person who propagated the lies against Joe Exotic. She put this all on her website under the guise of being like some kind of spiritual guru. She wears flowers on her head. Unless you are literally in the 70s at Woodstock, if you wear flowers on your head, I believe that you are either a murderer or someone that is like way too up your own ass.
Well, you have to be, if you're under 115 pounds, you're going to Coachella.
That's
what
it
means.
But she has her little YouTube following. She's trying to tell her, she begins her story about Joe and Dr. Antle as if, oh, they're both promoting themselves, not the Tigers. And then we come to find out, and again, we're taking you to about episode 3, maybe a little bit into episode 4 here. We come to find out she has hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube. You think Antle's a cult leader. She is more of a cult leader than Dr. Antle. And there is a well on her property.
The septic tank.
A septic tank that possibly contains human bones.
Or did she feed Don Lewis to a tiger? I don't know. He definitely just disappeared. Natalie is of the mind that Don Lewis purposefully disappeared in the night because Carol Baskin was threatening to kill him, and he was maybe setting up a story to try to get out of paying her as much as possible in the divorce. But my thing, I don't necessarily believe that. I don't think somebody that made his money the way that he made his money would go skulk off. I think that he would prefer to be in some loud divorce hearing because
yes.
He could pay a really intense divorce lawyer, where Carol Baskin, I think, was turning up the heat.
Yeah.
And then let him know, essentially, I'm going to fucking kill you. And then he tried like one last attempt to get out, and then she got him. I don't know how, pushing him out of the fucking airplane.
Well, I don't even believe that he flew.
That's what they were saying.
I think that she drugged him, and then that's what they were saying. But why was the van at the airport? No plans had taken off. That's very difficult to decide. I don't think that he did. I think that he's most likely in the septic tank, which is the place that no one wants to end up.
And it's really funny to have Carol Baskin be like, the cops are free to go through my septic tank if they want. And can you imagine any homicide detective like just sitting there being like, all right. Yep.
Yeah.
Really excited to put on my snorkel.
Yeah.
And get in there.
All right. Well, welcome to the first Dookie 8. If you don't solve the Dookie crime within the first 48 minutes. Yeah. Then,
first 8 minutes.
You die.
Then I just give up. Because our whole thing is that if it's too icky to solve, we don't solve it.
Hands off.
Hands
Carol
off.
Baskin. But what she did, because she wanted to have... She wanted the power in the tiger world. Her cages were worse than Joe's and worse than Dr. Antle's. She wanted the power in the tiger world, and she destroyed her enemies to get it. A very telling sentiment that she said, a sentence she said was, I did everything I had to do to get to where I am. I did everything I had to do to get
the money. Oh, no, she's a winner, Kissel.
She is.
And I think that that's important to remember. Sometimes you got to pull out all stops if you want to win. You got a W's a W. You got to go and you got
to
get it.
My question to you, Henry, is this. So we see the documentary. We see the 7-part series. Number one, if a producer ever comes up to you and says, we're going to make you look good. They never make you look good because one wants to see someone looking good on camera.
No, doesn't... they want you to be embarrassed. It's never true. They will never make you look good.
The ego of all of these people, and we're not even getting into the dude who ended up taking over Joe Exotic's thing. We'll let you guys.
Now it's, you guys need to watch this shit.
Just watch
it. We all have plenty of fucking time. It is highly interesting. It's essentially Florida Man, the world of the Florida Man completely exploded.
Yes.
It is a wild trip to see all of these people, every one of them thinking they're the only correct one.
Yes. And every one of them thinking, being like, thank God I'm here to make these people, to make not, so that not all tiger people look crazy. Thank God I'm here to bring some sanity back to this conversation. What do you think it is? Like, I understand why Joe Exotic was like, please come and film me. The guy was having a reality show created about him. That's a whole other thing. I get it. He wants the spotlight. He's a performer, and I believe he has a lot of love in his heart. But Dr. Antle and Carol Baskin, just those two, we're not going to talk about any side characters. What the fudge? I'm going to go there. Why the hell would they say yes?
Why the H-E double hockey sticks?
Because, why the hell would they say yes to this?
They love the sound of their own voices. And they love being on camera. That's what they do. They are big tiger people. These are not subtle people. They want to get the message out. Each one of them think that they're controlling the narrative by going on. And they are not thinking about the fact that, no, you're a part of an entertainment documentary series from Netflix. They are looking for you to, unbeknownst to you, because you're completely unselfconscious.
Yes.
You are just throwing shit at this camera. And they are there to catch it. And they are very excited because they think in a way, all press is good press, right? That they would be able to attract people to their various institutions, just talking about it. But unfortunately, being in the same stratosphere as Joe Exotic makes you not super legit as a zoo owner. Like, it doesn't help you.
Well, I would say the inverse. I would say being in the stratosphere of Carol Baskin and Dr. Antle. I'm just very pro-exotic. I am.
But the way I was trying to break it down for Natalie for D&D, like, their sort of characteristics.
Okay.
And the way I put Carol Baskin is I would put Carol Baskin in Lawful Evil, where she views, she has a worldview.
Yes.
That she thinks is better than anybody else's.
Yes.
And she is trying to, so she does everything according to her own set of laws.
Yes.
And so anything that works for Carol Baskin is good because my view is correct. So it means to an end at all times.
But to her, but then also because of the power that she has, she also truly does have the legal side on her.
Yes, she's winning. Because she's also, because it all shows, if you got the cash, you can wear out anybody in the court as much as you want.
Absolutely.
And that's how you win. You've got a war of financial attrition.
Yes.
Joe Exotic, I honestly put him full on into chaotic neutral, where I think that he is accidentally good at the same time that he is accidentally bad. I think that he is just Joe Exotic.
Right.
He is a spinning dervish. He's his energy. He's this tornado of energy that was unleashed onto the world. And then people just kind of get swept up. His two fake husbands, both purchased by meth. he is not.
No.
I am going to unfortunately say, upon, especially with this documentary series, because I listened to the podcast, which was also very good, he's not singing those songs.
The documentary did not point that out. How do you know that? Because that was one of the things that I shouted at. I was like, he's not singing. But then they never covered
it.
Are you sure?
Listen to his voice. And there is this particular moment. I don't want to spoil it. But there is a moment in the, I want to say, fifth episode where you're watching him lip sync.
But people lip sync. But they lip sync during videos.
No, it's not. It's not during the video. It is live performance.
Oh,
It is a live performance. Okay, he's lip syncing.
Are you telling me? But you know, people lip sync during live performances as well. They got to dance around. They have to move.
It was a funeral kissel.
Oh, that was.
It was at the memorial. If you watch him, if you watch him at the memorial. He is lip syncing.
All right. We won't go into detail on that. That is up for debate. Side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Do you think Joe Exotic is lip syncing? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. The guy's in prison for 22 years for crying out loud. Can he get something? Also, I do not believe 22 years is the appropriate sentence. He should not be there for that long, but.
I don't know, man. I think that it's a I think it's a pile of a lot of things that he's done wrong in life.
It's an accumulation of a series of threats. For example, he did say, if anyone comes to take my tigers, it'll be a new way.
I'm going to say that was very intense. It's hard.
He definitely put his mouth in an area that his ass, he could not cash that check. I understand what you're saying with that.
Also, if you give yourself if you have a time, watch the full video of Joe Exotic's his song about Carole Baskin, "Here Kitty Kitty."
It's seriously
which
unbelievable.
Is fucking, he's just, oh god, he's funny.
I'm not even lying to you.
He's so entertaining.
Whoever sings it, it's good. I love
it. It's good.
I love it.
And the video of him driving around singing his own songs, because that's also where you could tell he's not singing the songs. I think that there's a difference. He might be singing. If you listen to Joe Exotic songs, if you listen to enough of his discography, there are higher range songs that he is definitely not singing. But there are some lower range songs that he could be singing.
I feel like out of this entire conversation, this is the one thing that Joe would just scream about.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think he's like, no, this was actually me. Like,
I sang them songs. You know I sang them songs.
Oh, Joe.
I'll see skies of blue and clouds of white. This is my voice.
Oh,
it is my voice. You know it's my voice.
Joe, I believe that it is. I believe
it is. All right, guys. Well, go and check it. Go check this fucking show out.
It's called
Tiger. It is worth your time.
It really is. It's called Tiger King. It's on Netflix. You are going to... This is a caravan of characters like I truly have never seen before. They also... It's a strange feeling because you also... In every one of these characters, you will relate a little bit to yourself.
A little bit. There's fractions of
everyone.
All of our most toxic parts of our personalities.
Yes.
In each one of these people.
Yes, there really are. And the way that the director and the producers put it together, it was seamless. Just a really well done documentary. And now that I think about it, you know what I like the most? No voiceover.
None.
It's all just the characters.
Witnesses. It's so incredible. And obviously we're going to be, as updates roll out, we would love to talk about whatever it is that comes up in the Joe Exotic world, because man, oh man, you know, love him or hate him, Joe Exotic is a part of the American goddamn quilt.
Yes,
and it might be a stained patch.
Yeah, sure.
But it's without that patch, there'd be a hole in it.
I completely agree. There's a piece of Americana that he represents, freedom. You know, just say what you want and do what you want and love
sometimes
the way you
it
want.
Puts you in jail. Sometimes that very freedom puts you directly into jail.
But that's also we'll maybe talk about that next week after more have seen it, so we can talk about the legal breakdown. And if you have seen it and you are a lawyer or someone who has a legal background, sidestories@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Why is Joe Exotic in prison? Does he belong to be there? Let us know your thoughts. All right, Henry, you got some creepy deepy stories this week.
Let's just go through this real quick. So number one, the coronavirus, COVID-19, is affecting businesses all over the nation. People don't know how to react to it. You mean us? I'm just sitting in a deeper pile of my nut juice than normal. But it's fairly, you know, the same for me.
Yes.
But some people they have had to change their whole business model. And I think it's kind of inspiring.
I think so.
Especially this one business in Portland, the Lucky Devil Lounge. The Portland Strip Club, it's forced to close, so dancers now do delivery. This is absolutely incredible.
Henry, I have something to say here because, you know, I'm boots on the ground for LPOTL.
Yes. And no, you are. You're a field reporter. And I'm really happy you got to do some of this research.
I was at the Lucky Devil Lounge. It's right near a weed dispensary in Portland. It is unbelievable. Just such a great place. Everyone was so sweet. The drinks were great. The chef at the Lucky Devil Lounge is a huge fan. He ran out when he saw me. He gave me two joints and was like, what do you want, man? He was like ready to give me a burger. He was very, very sweet. So in Portland, as soon as they open up.
Wait, what did they decide that you eating a burger at the fucking, at the bar, would that affect dance sales? You're just like, yeah, let me finish this up, darling.
No, but Portland has a great adult entertainment scene. The dancers are unbelievably talented and they're really great people. So Lucky Devil Lounge, support it. But I didn't even realize this was Lucky Devil Lounge. Interesting.
Absolutely. So club owner Sean Bolden's newest business, it's called Boober Eats. Woo! It's a home delivery service in which a pair of scantily clad strippers would deliver hot food to your door. It started as some joke that he posted on social media, but then when people began seriously inquiring about orders, Bolden saw potential. This comes from from OregonLive.com, this article. So now it's saying from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m., Boober Eats is offering the full menu from the Lucky Devil Lounge at the same prices. Now the delivery rates are $30 because these girls work for tips. So yep. you gotta tip these, and I'd say give them extra when they show up because they're showing up just panties and pasties, and it sounds like a lot of fun.
And also there is a rule, and guys, I am talking to you. Yes, everyone sees you in the back of the strip club staring at the girls, not paying money. You have to get up, go give them a couple of bucks every 15 minutes. Stand up. They do something that's an impressive. Stand up. Give them money. Everyone sees you in the back.
This is the time for the webcam people. Oh. This is the time for the at-home sex worker. This is really like, this is the time to support them, because if we're not masturbating, if we're not fucking coming in this country in these next couple months, that's when shit's gonna start getting real. When California, thank God California named weed an emergency service. Because if not, this whole state was gonna fall apart. Because LA is not an emotionally strong
city. No. Also, it's great. It's very funny to me. It's like hospitals, supermarkets, liquor, and weed stores. Those are like immediately emergency services. And dare I say, Lucky Devil Lounge is also an emergency service. I think they could have pushed it and probably won. But this was what was a local reporter. Her name is Samantha Swindler. This is what she had to say about the Lucky Devil Lounge. She said, so while the rest of Portland was hoarding toilet paper and pasta, the owner bought out one local store's stock of pasties. She goes on to say,
that's incredible.
It's brilliant. She goes on to say, all the calls of people, as Henry just said, are giddy, and of course sometimes it's a birthday surprise or whatever it is, but so everyone's getting toilet paper and this guy is like, I see the time, it is pasty time.
It's pasty time. Honestly, what a good time to invest in lube.
Sure.
This is the time, especially if you're fucking home. Let's say you're home with a significant other, you're quarantined. This is the time to start experimenting. This is the time to really see what your buttholes can do for each other.
I completely agree.
How? Yeah, because you and Puffin have really gotten close.
Well, not like that. Although Puffin and I, we have watched, we've done very well. As I said, I watched Bombshell yesterday, and I also watched, and I'm making a movie recommendation right here, The Invisible Man.
Oh, I loved it.
It was really, really good.
It is the highest quality Lifetime movie I've ever seen.
Sure. I'll give you that.
It is really very, very entertaining. A very good thriller. Very, very good. Natalie and I watched, because Natalie hadn't seen Lord of the Rings. So Natalie and I watched all 15 hours of the extended Lord of the Rings. And the main takeaway we kept saying, just so many scenes end with coppeds. Like, they're looking at each other, just about to start fucking kissing. Every character in that movie, it is such it's a tribute to straight man sexual love for each other.
I guess so. In a Hobbit,
it's like
form.
It's like side stories.
Yeah, the Hobbit. The Hobbits are a horny. Are they a people? What are they called?
They're halflings. They're little people, but they are also. But for most, like, they are sort of horny, but mostly they like food, booze, and weed.
Yeah, they are cool.
They are fun, but I honestly, I wish hobbits were hornier.
I feel like they, I just feel like those things all lead to sex. Good food, good booze, good weed.
No, it doesn't. That goes to sleep. I do. John Gaber's talking this, and I think several people have talked about this. You gotta fuck before the food, the booze, and the weed. Sometimes it does help to be inspired by the food. But I do it all before, so then it's not me going, hey, baby, it's a sausage. There's a sausage.
Well, I think it's
teeth.
Supposed to be a more romantic dinner, like fondue, maybe a nice red wine. Maybe not a bunch of Polish sausage.
That's what we're eating now.
Thick IPAs.
This is quarantine times, baby. We are fucking, I am eating a lot of pure meat, and I'm doing a lot of yoga.
That's good.
So I'm getting flexible and filled with sausage particles?
I think that's accurate. So Boober Eats, if you're in Portland, Oregon, go out there, support this company, support these people, be very respectful when they show up, and give them a good tip, and get your food, because truly the Lucky Devil Lounge food is very good. And to the chef out there that's a big fan, hope you're doing well. Hail yourself, buddy, and I hope you're getting through these tough, tough times for a lot of people. For everyone in the service industry, we're with you. And when you come back to work, which you will, you're going to be more appreciated than ever. And hopefully people pay you what you deserve, which is a hell of a lot more money than you get now.
Our restaurant industries, so many of our favorite things are suffering right now. And that it just sucks dick. I want everything to open up. We're doing our best to support. Just so you know, like a little bit of a float of a bit of information from LPN. We're going to be opening up a brand new merch store this Friday.
Yeah.
It's coming out. And a part of that is that we're going to be contributing a chunk of what we're selling going through charities right now. I believe it might be One Fair Wage to kind of help do what we can fight this horseshit, because we want you back. We need these restaurants. Yep. We need these bars fucking back. I need it. I need it, man. I'm a good cook. I'm a fine cook, but I miss tacos so bad.
Dude, I just miss the community, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are getting lonely right now. And again, we
go
are
to Kissel's house
together.
Come if to you're lonely, if you're lonely, if you don't have a fever, I'll give out your address.
Sure, that you've already done that, I think, on episodes of Roundtable like 1,000 years ago. But
look at old episodes of Roundtable and find Kissel's address and go to his home. But not if you're sick, because you can't be sick. But if you're again asking my cougars, where are you at, guys?
That is satire on Henry Zabrowski's part. Sure. Puffin is a hell of a guard dog. Puffin's a hell of a guard.
I've seen him.
He literally would sleep through me getting bludgeoned to death with a pinball. With a bowling pin. He would literally just look at me as I'm just like, Puffin, could you please help? As I'm getting whapped with a sports piece of equipment.
Of course, amen. And I would hate to see it. I'll tell you what.
Uh-huh.
I'd hate to see it.
All right.
Now, we have a little bit of another Lori Vallow update. I can't even begin to catch you up to this. I just wanted to, because if you've listened to previous episodes, you know we've been covering this story. Lori Vallow, she is the mother of JJ Vallow and Tylee Ryan that have now, they've been missing since September of last year. She got married to Chad Daybell, who's essentially a cult leader of an esoteric wing of Mormonism. And they are now, Lori Vallow's in jail, but Chad Daybell is free. And we have no clue where these kids are, right? And it's this long, convoluted series of twists and turns. Watch that Dateline on it. It's a really good sum up of everything that's going on. But there is an update that is fucking unbelievable.
It's
so
weird.
Lori Vallow's niece, Melanie Boudreaux Pawlowski, also a part of the cult of the Daybell cult. She attempted to murder, or believe that she had somebody attempt to murder her husband, Brandon Boudreaux.
Yes.
He got shot out while leaving a gym. They don't really know. They got divorced. She immediately got married to a man by the name of Ian Pawlowski. Pawlowski, Pawlowski, right? He is working with the police trying to say, I think that Melanie knows where the kids are. Nobody knows.
Yep.
But the big thing that's coming out of this is a little bit of the inside mechanisms of what is going on inside of the brain of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell.
It is a crypt that should, the crypt keeper is literally, that's where he lives.
It's very interesting. Melanie let slip to Ian that the reason why Brandon was, why they tried to kill him, was because of this concept that Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow have been floating to their various followers through their podcasts, which are still going. That whole podcast network is still going. Good for them. Great time for them.
I guess.
This is a perfect time for them. They, she said that apparently she loved Brandon with all her heart. But the problem with Brandon is that he got his soul left him. And his brain has been taken over by a zombie demon spirit. And the only way to save him is to kill him. Which is, you know, that's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
It comes down to it. Then they ask, well, so what about JJ and Ty Lee?
The kids.
And she said the last time that they spoke to Lori Vallow, she said, yeah, they're zombies now too.
Yes. So this is what
it seems like they got Resident Evil'd.
Oh my God. Yeah, she is a real Mila Jovanovich?
What? Oh my God, Jovovich.
Oh my God. Resident Evil and in the Fifth Element. But this is according to court documents. This is like the stenographer had to sit there and channel their inner Stephen King or Joe Hill and just be like, okay. The court documents describe zombies as, quote, human bodies that have had their original spirits forced from them and have been possessed by either a demon, a disembodied spirit, or a worm or slug. They go on to say she shared concerns that, again, Ty Lee and JJ were indeed zombies. So this is a weird day to be a jury. It's a strange.
I think so. It's finally, honestly, it must be nice to see something fucking entertaining because I think most of the time on a jury, you're very, very bored.
Oh my God. So do you think that this is, So the kids are dead. She killed them.
I believe that that is true. Yes. I don't know. I mean, we don't know. There's no bodies, but I think that it's close to saying that yes.
Sure. But now I know that it's actually very interesting. The Supreme Court just ruled that states can do away with getting off of charges or not getting off of charges, but avoiding prison by pleading insanity. The Supreme Court just said that can be off the table because certain states have nixed it as a possible defense. If she is not insane, I don't know who is insane when it comes to standing trial. You're going to tell me you're going to sit in court under oath and say that your kids are zombies.
That's a lot.
You might as well just confess. If they are in your mind, you might as well just confess to being a hero then. Because, it's insane. If she truly believes that, then I guess she would also believe she didn't do anything wrong. She saved the world.
I just wish I had such confidence about a single thing I believed in my life. You know, like the idea of just coming out and just full on saying, look, yeah, some people get replaced by zombie slugs and that's just how it is. And if that is, I mean, that's what an ease to live life with. That you could just, that's it. Locked and loaded. Boom. He's zombie slugs. That's it. That's what he got. He got zombie slugs. That's what his problem is. That's why the fucking Dow's plummeting. It's these zombie slugs.
You never know. She has been extradited to Idaho, where she is being held on a $1 million bond. Her and Daybell, Vallow and Daybell, are not cooperating with the investigation. And
I don't know why, though.
I almost think it might be because they're guilty.
What?
Yeah.
No, Kissel, no. People are innocent until proven guilty.
Oh, that's right. You know what's interesting? And this is actually true, and this is what I was thinking about during the Joe Exotic documentary. Our criminal justice system focuses so much on the people who are being accused and not the accuser. I think in the case of Carol Baskin, they should have had the same spotlight on her as they did on Joe Exotic.
It's hard.
That's what
he tried. He tried. He countersued and failed.
Yeah, because what was he countersuing with? The teeth of his husband?
I don't know what the hell he was doing. I don't know. He had no money. He somehow kept getting money, though. He's just one of those guys. He just keeps fucking getting on his feet again.
Yeah.
Technically, I think jail's a very safe place for him.
He is. Anyway, we'll continue to talk about that as more people watch it. But anyway.
I love this story. Woman gave neighbor box of sex toys that included a severed head. This comes from your favorite newspaper. This comes from the New York Post.
Hey, Pam, what do you want me? I know what to do with the dildo, but what do you want me to do with the severed head?
Give it a kiss. You know what I like to do is I do the old, what I like to call is the reanimator.
Oh, really?
Where I put it down there and I just let it go on the nub. I use his dead ass nose on my nub.
Oh, a woman whose neighbor, so she, a woman, dude, this is, I honestly think it's kind of smart what she did.
Okay.
A woman whose neighbor asked her to store a box of sex toys, later discovered a decapitated human head decomposing inside of it, which is really smart because then they don't necessarily open it up, right? Oh, I also just realized, upon looking at this article, I'm realizing this is a very old story, but I'm just going to keep blowing through this because I think this is really fun. So this woman, she was super shocked. She suffered a panic attack after seeing the macabre contents, as she only recently removed the box from her wardrobe after noticing the stench.
Oh.
So she said that the severed head appeared to have been boiled in water and wrapped in foil, possibly to limit odor escaping. Police in northern Spain. I wondered why they kept saying Spanish woman, because it seemed to be a lot to keep calling her a Spanish woman. But this took place in Spain.
That makes sense, then.
They arrested the original owner of the box, Maria del Carmen Marino.
Ooh.
She's 61, in Castro Undiales, Cantalabra. They alleged that the severed head performed... actually, let me do that in proper Spanish, right? Maria del Carmen Marino, 61, at Castro Undiales, Cantabria. They allege that the severed head belonged to Jesus Mario Baranda, 67, or her partner of 7 years. He said he'd been retired since 2018. He was divorced with children. The body ain't been no place. She told her it was his box full of sex toys. She said her boyfriend left when he moved out. However, the unnamed neighbor opened the box after she noticed a pungent odor wafting from the wardrobe where it had been stored for 6 months.
Oh, my God. So when it comes to a personality breakdown of Marino, the woman that gave the box with the severed head in it, this is how people describe her. They say she was a grumpy person who did not like children around her. And I'm going to say grumpy is a little of an understatement.
Especially when she decapitates a man.
Oh, I was just grumpy.
I mean, I've been hangry.
We've all been grumpy. We've done this show. You've heard us grumpy on air. At no point has anyone ever showed up with the severed head of a loved one? It doesn't.
I don't know yet. Well, I haven't seen it yet. Don't discount Travis. He can still do it. I still believe that Travis can decapitate a man if he wants to.
No, I believe that he could, but I would not describe him as grumpy. I would say, you know, quietly malicious.
Quietly malicious, always plotting, watching and waiting, looking for your weaknesses.
I know it.
But this story, I mean, I was just thought it was really fun. The reason why I wanted to talk about the story is it reminded me of a story from college where we had a neighbor. There was a point in time before we had cash, right?
Right.
Whatsoever. In college, in Murderfest, like, you know, we all were working various minimal jobs, but we loved using dildos as props.
Yes.
So one time, there was a sketch that we had to do that was basically, we did a parody of the Twilight Zone episode, Time Enough at Last, where it was a full-on, like, 8-minute sketch talking about Holden McNeely as a man that loved porno and then hid in the vault of a bank, and the end of the world came, and then he got to go to the porno store, and as he was about to finally jerk off, his hands fell off, and he says, "But there was time now. Time enough at last."
That's great.
Right? It was fun.
Yeah.
But we need all these dildos. So we had a neighbor, Ed and I used to live in this fucking flop house with a bunch of crust punks, which I've described in the past.
Yes, Ed Larson, of course, from Brighter Side, Holden McNeely from Page 7, and Wizard and the Bruiser here on the LPN Network.
But we needed dildos. And at the time, dildos are like $75 a pop, and it's a lot of money.
Woo!
And so we were like trying to think about like, who should we contact? How the fuck do we get these dildos?
Yeah.
We had a neighbor that attempted to seduce me, Ed Larson, that we also live with together as a triptych.
Uh-huh.
And she said this line I'll always forget, because I remember she played a song once. She made me sit alone in the living room and she lap danced for me, right? Like weirdly, kind of like awkward dance for me.
Is there a physical description of this woman that you can
share? She was very cute. She was very cute. But she was, I'm going to say, unstable. She said I remember one of my favorite sentences she said to me. We were all sitting there. She's like, "I've run from more places than you've ever been to." She said that one time. And
she's a drifter woman.
And she came and she's lap dancing me. I was just like, "Didn't you just try to fuck Ed Like last night, she's like, yeah, that's how it goes. She's like, Ed's the sex, you're the voice, and the body. That's what she said about all of us. The three of you together make the perfect man.
Right? She's like a transformer.
She's great. She was a lot of fun. But at some point, she was like, we all were like, how do we get these dildos? She's like, let's ask her. I bet she's got dildos.
Right.
And we asked her, she's like, yep, I got a whole box of them. And she went and she pulled out this like ancient cryptic box filled like big like stand cardboard box like filled with sex toys. Like, you know, it's just been under her bed for fucking like 2 years. Like, perfect. And I remember taking it down and, you know, none of Murderfist knew that it was like where it came from or who they
were. Well,
I
have
to
ask, you did throw them in the bath and wash them a little bit, did you?
Absolutely not.
You did not. Okay.
No.
That's
and
good.
So before the show, I remember looking over and one of the members of Murderfist is like, hey guys, look. And he picked up one of her big dildos and he started deep throating it, right? And going like, look. And they're like, look, I'm fucking sucking a dick. And we just sat and then I remember just nodding, just seemed like, hell yeah, man.
I think that's where coronavirus came from.
Yeah, you and her are essentially married now.
Ugh, I cannot.
You have licked her cervix. Hey, what are you going to do?
Oh, comedy.
So much fun.
All right, well, that was, okay. Oh, goodness. I would just say put a little sanitizer on there, but you know what?
You
what do
have.
I know?
Yeah, but we didn't care. We didn't
know.
We
were
fucking 20 years old, full nihilist. It was fun.
I know. All right. Well, let's get to Hero of the Week.
Ben just took a shower on tour without puffing to dry his cheeks. Had to use Henry's back hair for a towel. So now Henry's Hero of the Week.
This week's hero is a mailman. Male men are heroes and male women are heroes. Male people? Well, that's kind of confusing. Male persons are the best
I'm going
people
insane.
Around. So this dude, he showed up at a Little Rock, Arkansas restaurant and he said, you know what? I got to pay it forward. His name is Andy Derrick. He delivers mail to Doe's Eat Place restaurant. He had a $12 lunch. Maybe he got, what do you think you get for $12? Pastrami sandwich, maybe? Ooh, yeah.
Side of fries. Ooh, yeah. Honestly, it sounds great. Like a nice Reuben. That'd be good.
Oh, that's great. He got a $12 sandwich and paying it forward, again, on a mailman's salary, he left $2,200 as a tip. He said, it's my community. I deliver to them. I know all of them. Just trying to support them because they need support. This is Catherine Eldridge, who owns the restaurant. She says every employee teared up, every single one of them. She said, I cried at first. At first, I thought it was $200. I looked closely and said, are you kidding? A very generous tip. And anyway, that is just very important. The owner goes on to say, we need to see that right now. When everything looks so gloomy and uncertain, we need to know that there are people out there that are doing good things to help us out. I wish I could have, and this is what Derek said, the man who gave it. He said, I wish it could have been more, but we'll get through this and go back to normal and I can come back and get my fish on Friday. So there you
fuck
go.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy. That is very
great.
Sweet. Andy Derrick, you are this week's Hero of the Week. And that's a great message for all of us to remember. We don't got to give $2,200 necessarily, but just give something to the people, whatever organizations you love. It's just there's a lot of people suffering out there. And so, yes, anyway, just a little positive Hero of the Week.
That's so nice. You know, I also want to give a big shout out to the fucking grocery store people out there.
Yes.
Straight up fucking, like, holy shit, who knew?
Front lines.
You'd be the most important people in the world right now. You guys are, and it shows you the power of labor.
Yes, it does.
And how we're watching the Dow collapse, and mostly the Dow is collapsing because they don't have the true control over how shit gets done in this country, which is the working man and woman that
really work
for a fucking living, that go in the, so think about that. The next time they do a series of corporate bailouts.
Well, absolutely. Big shout outs to all those people, and they deserve more money, better hours, healthcare, the whole lot. They deserve it, and we're seeing how important they are for our society.
Okay.
But speaking of important, let's get to listener email.
I want to read a couple of these. A couple of these are good and fucking disgusting. I'm very excited.
Okay.
I am a nurse in West Virginia. I haven't lived here my whole life, so I had a little bit of culture shock when I moved here. I worked on an adult medical surgical unit, so you could see a wide variety of patients with many different ailments. I had a patient one day who was around 500 or 600 pounds. Ooh. She was a large woman who was from very deep in West Virginia.
But you know what's so sad? Do you think if you... Can you just be under the radar to get my 600-pound life? If you show up and you're 450, don't you just put on the extra...
Not fat enough.
But you're not fat enough, so... Maybe just put on the extra 150, then you can get the free. Then you can get the free surgery on 600-pound life.
600-pound life, you got to have a story.
Ah,
you got to pitch. You got to have a pitch. Got to have an angle.
True, true.
She was a large woman. She was from very deep in West Virginia. She had a thick accent, having just moved here. I had a hard time understanding her. Anyways, she was a little unhappy because you'd just come to our unit and had to use the bathroom. She had a difficult time getting out of bed, so I helped her getting up.
Uh-oh.
Being only 5'2", this was a slight challenge. We went to the bathroom, and she sat down and did her business. She was unable to reach her backside, so I offered to wipe for her.
Deeper, deeper. Oh, I was worried this was going to be another deeper, deeper.
All right. She looked at me as if I had said something wild and crazy, and she said, no, I don't do that. I was a little confused and asked her why not. She replied that she didn't use toilet paper ever.
What?
My mind immediately went wild. Did I misunderstand her? Do you always never use it in the bathroom? Do you just never use it for just number one? Or do you not, for number two as well,
This was your joke. You made this reference about a crust.
So I made sure to ask her again.
No!
Are you sure? You don't want me to wipe. I'm happy to help you. It's very important to wipe, to clean. Gave her all the information I know about wiping. She gave me this wild look. And says straight to my face in this deadpan voice, "The generations get dimmer and dimmer every year."
No!
I said, "All righty then." Knowing I wouldn't win this fight, and just went back to bed without wiping her butt. But since she was such a large woman, I didn't get a look at her butt. And maybe I was a bad nurse for not checking. But can you imagine the shit in there?
Oh my, it is exactly what you said it would be. It would be a crust. It reminds me of the of water dripping slowly on rock, and you look through it and you look at it over the years. It just creates the Grand Canyon, but it is of crap. Okay. All right. Well,
I love this story. Good for you, man. Wild being a nurse. Must be really tough out there being a nurse. We just have this time and time again how difficult it is to be a nurse. They're the hardest working people in the world.
I mean, I guess this woman technically made the nurse's life easier because she didn't have to go see the decades of Duke piled in between her tacoed, like Taco Bell meat. Between her,
she says this. You say it's easier. Yeah, it's easier
shell
now.
Shell of a butt.
Ugh. But you're just kicking this can down the road. But you're gonna have to deal with her body one day.
I guess.
All right. So here we go. Here's another one. This is about monkeys.
Oh, okay, cool.
We talked last week about all the monkeys.
Yeah, fighting.
Right, and how cute. We thought that would be super cute.
I like it.
Right. I thought it'd be cute.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time in remote areas of Uganda, which has its own abundance of miserable red-tailed monsters. These monkeys would hang out around my
second.
House
the
trying
bias.
To get in.
This is, I. It's already yes. bias. I know where it they're is. Coming from.
This is anti-monkey propaganda. These monkeys would hang out around my house trying to get in to steal my food. One day I was sitting on my porch drinking tea and reading a book. A monkey who was clearly the ringleader of this gang of thugs came up to me and tried to grab the book out of my hands. I swatted him away, which only served to make him angry, and I went back to reading while he chattered angrily at me from the rafters. After it became clear that I was tuning him out, he hopped down to the table, grabbed my cup of tea, and smashed it on the ground, and then picked up the largest, sharpest piece of the cup he could find and attempted to stab me with it.
I
leapt up screaming. I know, this is fun. And my brother, who was sitting next to me, jumped up too and punted the little demon across the yard.
All right. Well,
he
monkeys
ran off
are
into
so
the trees.
Smart.
And so they are stars. He ran off into the trees, and dozens of his little minions surrounded us in the trees, howling at us. We went inside, waiting for them to get bored and find someone else to terrorize. From this point on, I was public enemy number one to this monkey. Anytime I left the house, he was there screaming at me. He seemed to make it his personal mission to break into the house and eat all my food, and I had to take extra security measures to ensure he didn't get past the locks. I even began feeding the local stray cats to get them to hang around the house for additional security. So you're doing the woman who swallowed the fly defense? I don't know if that works. I didn't think you could add more animals to this. I don't think it helps.
I don't know, but all one I know day, is it's adorable because the monkey is so mad.
It is cute, but you shouldn't have kicked that monkey. No. One day I was doing my laundry and hung it out to dry on the line outside. I had to go into town for a bit, and when I walked to the door, the same goddamn monkey was sitting on the clothesline waiting for me. He waited until we made eye contact, and then one by one, he removed all of the clothes pegs holding my clothes up. He never broke eye contact, and he forced to watch as my clean, wet clothes fell one by one into the dirt and the ground, covered in mud. I had spent an hour warming up the water and hand-washing each item. He saw me do it. He waited until I was at my most vulnerable. It was a calculated strike.
I love this monkey.
I think it's fun. This monkey is like Joe Exotic. When it really comes down to it, you thought, Carol Baskin thought she had Joe Exotic contained.
Right.
By various legal measures. But you, if you fucking kick a monkey,
right,
you're now in a you're now dealing with monkey rules.
Yeah, well, he's definitely contained now. But well, you know what? This just proves what we've all known: the monkeys are extremely smart. And I don't know how we catapulted. I guess we did it because our brains can get bigger, so we were able to beat the monkey. But you know, there was like a millennia where the monkey was just treating us horribly, beating us up all the time.
Of course, and the monkeys are incredibly dangerous, and yeah, we just, I don't know how we got past, you know, I wouldn't even dare to begin to try to answer those questions.
No idea.
Of how we survived past monkeys, but we did.
We got them.
And now monkeys, every once in a while, they show us that if we lose our precious little toys, they're going to be fucking crawling up our ass again.
Absolutely.
They're ready for it. They're looking to be number one.
I'm happy you made this about the Second Amendment. That's very good. Gun sales are up 34%, by the way.
Oh, good, because you can eat them. I think that's really what's great about them, is that they really do help, because you can, they really help everybody.
Yeah.
My thing is to just buy bullets, and then I'm thinking I can just find a gun.
Sure. I mean, yeah, most likely at some point.
I was going to say, Kissel, you were sort of correct.
Hey, all right.
These bubbles, we talk about bubbles eating space time the last couple episodes. He said that this one listener writes, he says that's just mathematicians writing fan fiction. However, Ben mentioned he visualizes the negative radius sphere of black holes as a Fruit Loop.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually shockingly correct.
Woohoo!
They are, in fact, toroids, or in other words, Cheerio or Fruit Loop shaped.
Hell yeah.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Hey, I'll take it. When
the material circulates, the material circulates around the Fruit Loop at 99.9999% of the speed of light, which does not allow it to collapse inward, as that would require exceeding the speed of light.
I don't want to be right again, but it sounds to me like the material is grape nuts. So the grape nuts are going around the Fruit Loop. This shit is, dude, I know a lot of stuff when it comes to a lot of things, but not when it comes to science, and that's just how smart I am. I accidentally got it right.
You ever thought about getting... You ever think about getting a doctorate in spiritual medicine? I think you'd be very good at that.
I actually don't think I would pass. I think I'd be like, that sounds dumb to me. And they'd be like, you know, you are not. I'm sorry. You're not in touch enough with your chi or whatever the hell.
But next week, I'll come back with even more letters. Keep sending us those letters. You guys, we've got nothing but time here. So we're going to be doing more evergreen stories, more and more stuff as we come. Like, I have a couple stories built up for next week, which I'm really excited to get into. And we are, like, we're going to keep chugging. We are the Apocalypse Radio that we, I guess, have been preparing for years to be.
That's it. And
side stories, lpotl@gmail.com.
And also, we have a little bit more information regarding our book tour in April.
Finally!
And I'm sure you guys have deduced this in your Sherlock Holmes cats. It has been postponed. It is rescheduled. We are working on rescheduling it now, and it will happen later this year. So we will see you all. Still, it's just slightly delayed.
We're literally just about to make the true announcement.
Yes.
You're going to probably see it as this episode come out. You're going to see Instagram posts and Twitter posts about where the dates are, which is going to be great. But the main takeaway we want to say is right now is that if you pre-ordered a signed copy of the book, this is a solution we've been working on.
Yes.
You're going to get an email from the ticket seller that's going to explain the steps that you need to take to get your book at the proper time.
Yes.
Because the way it's been working out, essentially you were supposed to pick it up from the venue when we were going to come and do your show, but we don't want the people that bought the signed books to not get the book by the time we're on tour. We want you to make sure you can get that book when everybody else can get the book, because of how fucking good you guys are to us, unbelievably good to us.
Yes.
And in supporting us. So we just want to make sure you guys get that shit. So so look out for an email from your ticket seller.
Yep. And we've been trying our best. You know, this whole thing is is a unique experience for everyone. So we are doing the best we can to fulfill our promise, and distance makes the heart grow fonder. So when we do see you on the road, it will be even more wonderful and more
also
powerful.
Number, not called a couple of bits of information / news. Working on a JFK series. I think that we are attempting to not go 7 episodes deep into JFK. We're going to try to have it only be one more, just because we're going to try to do it and then figure out other ways to make sure we get as much information to you as possible, so people don't experience JFK fatigue. Mm-hmm. I know that I spent every day sitting in sweatpants, watching JFK assassination footage, and then whatever else is in my brain. So
any working theory that you're going with that you want to tease the audience with right now, a working theory that you got?
I think that he was so smart, his brains left his skull. I think that was maybe it's that. So we're working on that. Another thing we're working on, so we're going to have a merch store come out this Friday. You're going to see all that information as we peddle it to you. Last bit of information. We love your fucking viewer mail and the gifts that you send us in the mail. It's always meant a lot to us. The New York City post office is fucking slammed right now. The LA post office is slammed right now. What we are asking you is that if you have got something you want to send us, for now, take a picture of it and post it to your socials so we can see it, and we'll fucking share it, and we'll do all that kind of shit. Instead of sending physical mail, because in New York especially, it's incredibly harrowing to go to the post office.
Yeah,
it is very, very difficult right now.
It really is difficult. They have cut back on some workers, and as you guys know, it's kind of a crazy time out there. Thank you all so much for the gifts that you send. We truly appreciate it. We open them. We love them. And just in this situation, just take a picture, put it on Insta, and we will post it. And of course, please send after this situation
bullshit
that we're in now.
Whatever this
over.
Bullshit is over. But, you know, but that's why every day, man, you got to live.
Yes, you do.
You got to live. Just thankful that you aren't burdened with the ring that unites them all. The ring that rules them all. Poor Frodo. He just wants to be kissed by Samwise. That's all he wants.
Well, I think
and
they
he
do.
Won't laugh until he is. He won't laugh until finally. But you know how bitter he was at Samwise's wedding.
Ugh.
Watching him be with that, being like, "Do you remember when we were outside of that lava flow? Do you remember at the very end of this fucking movie when we basically kissed? Do you remember that? Now you're fucking getting married to this fucking."
Hey, I don't think the Frodo was. Frodo might have been a little drunk on the mead if he was saying that at the wedding, but.
Well, sometimes people accidentally reveal real truths, do they?
Sometimes.
Right? And you gotta love. You gotta love, like, the unrequited love between a bunch of just hairy little hobbits, all of them and a bunch of horses, watching Aragorn swish around, fucking stab at things with his fucking Viggo Mortensen being super handsome. Legolas, almost a woman. So it's nice to see you out there. You got Gimli. Gimli's being funny.
I love
keeping
Gimli.
Everybody relaxed. But the rest of them are just loving each other and knowing that fellowship is the most important thing of all. Because fellowship, in the end, Kissel, is what saved Middle-earth from Sauron.
I agree. I'm a Gandalf guy myself. I love the old Gandalf. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me, you jackals.
Oh, and your children, if you think that your children are zombies, I'm going to say give yourself a timeout. Go have a white wine spritzer. Relax.
Relax. That's actually really good, even though a lot of times people get really mad when you tell them to relax, so I don't know if that'll help, but you're right. You should relax.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.